Jenner on BBC Radio Oxford.
So June the 8th, you say? Yeah, going to be a big day, isn't it? No, I'm not talking about the election. No. I'm talking about the 57th birthday of Simply Red singer Mick Hucknall. Might get overshadowed by a few other things going on the day. You ready for another election then? Enter Brenda from Bristol. She's just fabulous. Brenda, what do you think about another general election?
Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this. There's too much politics going on at the moment.
Yeah, she doesn't sit on the fence, does she, Brenda from Bristol?
You could propose in the rain. I don't think you'd be very popular, though. Neil Sedaka laughed it in the rain. Quarter past three, BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. As I was saying, we're talking about unusual proposals, unusual places to pop the question. Mary on her way to Lewis. So Mary, afternoon to you.
Hello.
So where was this unusual proposal, this unusual place that this proposal took place?
I was in intensive care and had to go down for a third emergency operation at the Victoria Hospital at East Grinstead. And I refused to go down until my boyfriend at the time came to the hospital, and then I proposed to him.
Right.
And he thought that was funny. She's under morphine. forget. And then as soon as I came round in recovery position, I asked again, do you remember what I asked you? And he said, yes, and the answer is still yes. And eventually, I got out of intensive care and was on the hospital ward. He proposed back to me on hospital radio.
Oh, brilliant. But you felt you had to ask him again, just to double check.
No, I just wanted to make sure that I hadn't hallucinated as well.
Fantastic. And when was this, Mary?
This was in 2008. It'll be March 2008.
Amazing.
So, yeah, and then we got married in the June of 2009.
And where was the marriage? Where did you get married?
We got married at the Lewis Grange Registry Office, and then we had our reception at Plumpton Racecourse.
Incredible. And you well now?
Oh, I'm very well now, yes, very well.
Brilliant, brilliant. What a fantastic story. Did you plan it? Did you plan that? Or did you just think, was it just completely spontaneous?
It was completely spontaneous. I was really worried I was going to die on the table. And I just wanted something good to come back for.
Brilliant. Well, I'm so glad that it's still going strong. Very many congratulations to you for that. And yes, Mary on her way to Lewis there this afternoon, just popping the question spontaneously. If you've got a similar story, perhaps, of popping the question spontaneously, just thought, oh, I know, I'm in the shopping centre. That's probably not the most romantic way to do it. But unusual places to propose were after this afternoon. 03459 570057. Right, 17 minutes past three. And who wants a copy of a 16-year-old compilation album? I've got one just inside my bag here. Let's dig it out. Hold on a second. It is Now That's What I Call Music 48. It's gathered a little bit of dust on the shelf, it's fair to say. But sales of that album have surged last week after the double CD provided the soundtrack to the BBC sitcom Peter Kay's Car Share. I don't know whether you've seen it. It is. It's very amusing. It does make me laugh. It's even entered Amazon's compilation chart despite being out of print. It was going on auction sites from as little as about £11, but now it's going up for about £20, I think it is. And yeah, well, let's have a listen. I just dig it out. As I said, I've got it here. Let's see what's on it. Oh, it's bound to be some classics. I mean, 16 years ago. Yeah, on second thoughts. Consign that one back on the shelf. Hey, I might even put it up on an auction site. Might get £20. That'd be good. Travel and headlines on the way after this from Genesis. Queen, David Bowie, Under Pressure, 10 past 6.
Friday morning. How are you then? You ready for the weekend then? Well, the weather looks like it's going to be a little bit better than it was yesterday. Yesterday was just cold. It didn't feel like the end of June. What happened to our heat wave and 35 degrees? Bah! That was summer 2017. No, the weekend actually looking a little bit better. About 21, 22 degrees, whatever you're going to be up to. So then, Friday morning, what do we need to know then? Well, there's a lot going on in politics at the moment, as you can imagine. The Queen's speech was passed yesterday, a lot of nervousness in Parliament. But this one thing you might well have missed about ties being worn in the House of Commons. MPs, male MPs, don't need to wear ties in the House of Commons anymore. No. It's been going on for years and years and years. But Speaker John Bercow says that although MPs should wear business-like attire, he says, it's not essential to include ties. He was speaking after a Tory backbencher, a guy called Peter Bones, said he'd spotted an MP. Sir, he's not wearing a tie. Lib Dem Tom Brake asking a question tieless. He said, no, actually, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. You can be a little bit more informal. I can't remember the last time I wore a tie. The trouble is, whenever you wear a tie nowadays, people say, well, what have you got, an interview? Or is it a court appearance? So, yeah, ties are out the window in the House of Commons. Old-fashioned technology. Well, we know in the shops that vinyl records are all the rage nowadays. Now, Sony is going to be making records once again on the back of this surging demand for the formats. They'll be pressing records by March next year. They stopped making vinyl back in 1989 as we all flocked to compact discs and, you know, MP3s and all that. But no, it's all going back to vinyl. I do wonder, though, does that mean that in the future that we're going to have cassettes back? We're all going to be putting our cassettes in our machines. No, maybe not. I can do without using a pencil and a cassette and trying to wind the tape back in. I think that's probably a thing of the past and a good thing too. And coming up, of course, it's the Cowley Road Carnival this weekend, the weekend of festivals. And then in a few weeks' time, Tame Music Festival, some exciting news, has announced that Spandau Ballet frontman Tony Hadley will be opening the festival in a couple of weeks' time. So let's play this one from Spandau Ballet, Only When You Leave. Spandau Ballet, Tony Hadley, frontman, who performing at the Tame Music Festival on the 8th of July. BBC Radio Oxford, David Priever is here with The Breakfast Club after 7, talking about the new pound coin 3 months after it was introduced. Not a single parking machine in Oxfordshire can accept it because the new pound is a different size and two material machines can't register it, apparently. The one good thing about the new pound coin, though, is that at least shopping trolleys, you don't have to get a pound coin because many of the shopping trolleys don't accept a new pound coin, so they've just released them, so you're not fumbling in your pocket for a change. There's one upside anyway.
BBC Radio Oxford. Your time saver travel.
Shade after 6:15. Let's get the latest on the roads with Al Ryan at Oxfordshire's Traffic Control Centre. How are things looking now, Al?
Thank you, Paul. Well, not looking too bad, actually, on the cameras this morning. Good steady flow of traffic.
Two people are born at the same moment, but they don't have the same birthdays. Two people are born at the same moment, but they don't have the same birthdays. How could this be? Brenda in Bristol, are you up for another brain teaser this morning?
Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Yeah, afraid so. Good morning to Phil in Abingdon, Samantha in Banbury, Roy in Oxford, all getting their answers in on the brain teaser this morning. What we're asking you is, how do you make the number one disappear? How do you make the number one disappear? If you think you know, 03459 311 111. Text 81333, start your message with the word Oxford, or tweet at BBC Oxford. So it's Friday, and Georgie Spanswick is here from 7 o'clock tonight to get your weekend started in style. She's going to be talking, amongst a number of things, about weekend chores. I've got a weekend chore, unfortunately, I've got to do. You know those jobs that you just put off for a little bit. You think, I'll get round to it one day. Well, it's got to the point where the downstairs loo has got to have some attention to it. It's been dripping for ages, and it got to the point last week where I thought, no, I'm going to do something about it. And Mrs. J was saying, haven't you sorted that toilet out yet? So I went on a website and ordered this valve for the loo, and that's come, etc. So I've got to do that this weekend. But, you know, amongst other things, I get an email during the week from this website saying, would you like to write a review of the toilet valve? And I'm thinking, what exactly do you say about a toilet valve? I mean, you know, some things you put on a review website, it's great in the living room. What exactly do you say? Oh, having said that, it does mean that Mrs. J won't be saying, have you fixed that toilet yet?
BBC Music's My Generation season celebrates.
Don't know if you've seen this story doing the rounds, but many of the papers carry the pictures of the Queen as a new memorial to those who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. But really, it was all upstaged by this toddler who is having a tantrum. Fair to say that in future years, when he's grown up, he will probably be shown at his wedding, to be honest. The Daily Express says Alfie Lum brought smiles to a solemn day as he tried to wriggle away from his mum and sit on the floor instead of handing over a bouquet of flowers. And the Queen just looking on there completely bemused, as is Prince Philip, to be fair. I think he found the whole thing quite amusing. The Sun has the same photo of the toddler being gripped by the arm and turning away from the smiling monarch. Can't really tell a two-year-old off for that, though, can you? Two-year-old also tried to grab the flowers back. No, they're mine! I'm having them. But his mum tells the paper the Queen was apparently very understanding. And finally, there's widespread coverage of a school that's urging parents to put away their mobile phones when they pick up the kids. Don't you find this number of people out and about who are just looking at their mobile phones? Look where you're going. Look where you're going in front of you. The Daily Mirror is among those carrying a picture of the sign outside St. Joseph's Primary in Middlesbrough. Shows a figure holding a phone crossed out with a red line and the words, greet your child with a smile, not a mobile. The move gets a backing of The Times, which imagines a conversation between a distracted mum and her child, ends with the mum falling down a manhole but delaying her rescue because she's received another text. It is true, the number of people you see, and you just think, how much of the world are you missing because you're looking at your phone? Yeah, going to be a glorious day across Oxfordshire. I did see a few people out in shorts and T-shirts yesterday, and the next few days look to be nice as well. Just after 8 o'clock, yes, did you forget to put your clocks forward? Is your clock still saying 7 o'clock? You need to go around the house. And there's always one, isn't there? There's always one that you forget, and it's usually the boiler one. And that usually takes months to fix anyway. But yes, 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and we can look forward to the lighter evenings. Happy days. It's Paul Jenner in for Sophie Law. Sophie not feeling too well this morning. Coming up in this hour, we're going to be reflecting on the events of Westminster, the terror attack over the past week. The Bishop of Oxford will be speaking to us about his thoughts and how faith communities are getting together to discuss what really the response should be. Also want to hear yours this morning. How should we respond following the events in Westminster this week? Oxford University Professor Tariq Ramadan tells us why now is more important a time than ever to get to grips with our basic knowledge of Islam.
Islam is a British religion, it's a European religion. We are going to live together, and together we have to be in order to build a common positive future.
Discussing that in the next few minutes. Plus, husband and wife team Rosemary and David explain how they're looking after the county's bird population as part of their volunteering efforts. And David, it's fair to say, has a particular favourite.
You might see the first lapwing chicks trotting around their little bit of field and exploring, watched over by their caring parents. This is a real joy.
More on that between now and 8:30. If you want to get in touch with the programme, 03459 311 111 or text 81333. Start your message with the word Oxford. Also, some great music between now and 9.
Paul Jenner on BBC Radio Oxford.
Dr. Sheikh Ramsey was talking about education. What do you think should be the focus?
I think education is important. I don't think there's any one thing, actually. I think education, I think acts of hospitality are really helpful. I think making sure that we are well connected and that all faiths have a visible public role in response to these events. All those things are critical. And, of course, supporting the security services and the emergency services in the work that they have to do.
Let's just hear from the Archbishop of Canterbury, your colleague Justin Welby, who talked about Wednesday's terrible scenes, but there were glimpses of the best of humanity.
The man who had tried to kill people a few moments later was being treated for his injuries by those people he tried to kill. And we look at that and think, well, of course, that's obvious, that's what you do. What an amazing thing.
There were signs of humanity, weren't there, in all
yes,
of this?
Yes, you saw in one afternoon the absolute worst that human beings can do and the senseless evil, but also the best in the instinctive responses to love and care and to heal, which emerge in all of those situations and responses of great courage and compassion. As Justin said, it's a truly awesome thing that we mustn't take for granted.
BBC Radio Oxford, Sunday Breakfast. Paul Jenner in for Sophie Law. We'll bring you a slightly different programme this morning because of events in London overnight. Six people dead after a terror attack in the capital. Started when a van ploughed into pedestrians on London Bridge shortly after 10 o'clock last night. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, currently making a statement. He was saying some of those injured in the attack are in a critical condition. The Conservative Party says it suspended its campaign for Thursday's general election. The statement says the Conservative Party will not be campaigning nationally today. We will review as the day goes on and as more details of the attack emerge. We were talking to our political correspondent Paul Rowley a few moments ago. A meeting of the Emergency Cobra Committee, the government's Emergency Cobra Committee meeting this morning. Sadiq Khan saying that the terror alert, the terror threat, I think probably what many people feel at this time. And certainly, you know, when I saw the news again this morning, I thought, oh no, not again. And it's what people can do. I mean, people come together. But I think people often feel very helpless in these sort of times. What reassurance and support do you give?
Well, I would say I'm merely a human being. I can do nothing other than express support and sorrow, do my best to comfort everyone.
Full news update on the way for Nine next. We're extending our programme in covering the latest developments from London overnight. Holly Samos will be here with me in the studio covering those latest developments. The Cobra Committee, Theresa May chairing that at the moment. She's expected to make a statement around 10 o'clock. We will bring that to you as soon as we have it. It's BBC Radio Oxford Sunday morning. Lucy Bickerton has the news headlines next.
And watching all of the build-up to the race, I've been up for hours.
Well, we were talking about this a little bit earlier on, because nowadays you don't know, because technology is so clever, it automatically does it all for you. You look at your phone or watch and think, am I looking at the right time or not? At least if
exactly.
You, in the olden days where you actually had to wind the clock forward, you knew exactly what you were dealing with.
I know, whereas my watch on my wrist at the moment says 10 to 8, so there you go. Anyway, good morning. I will be here from 9, which is in about...
Your life, your stories. Paul Jenner on BBC Radio Oxford.
Good morning. Friday morning, 4 minutes past 6. It's Paul Jenner in for Charles Knowe through till 7. Lots of great music to come in the next hour. Queen, David Bowie, Simon and Garfunkel, that whet your appetite. Also, the Brain Teaser 2, and we'll take a check on some of the front pages, see what's making the news this morning. Friday, so hopefully a little bit quieter on the roads. Al Ryan is at Oxfordshire's Traffic Control Centre. How are things looking?
I certainly am. Good morning, Paul Jenner. Well, not looking too bad across the city and county just yet. Main routes pretty quiet. M40, A34 and A40 all coping well. Just a reminder, though, if you're travelling into town about those temporary traffic lights on the Woodstock Road. Do keep me updated if you can. 03 459 311 666.
Updates every 15 minutes. And on sport, the new Oxford United manager may not have to sell a player in the early weeks of the new regime. Yes, the ongoing saga of finding a new Oxford United manager. More updates, the full update at 6:30.
Paul Jenner on BBC Radio Oxford.
taken from the Horizon album as the Carpenters, released 1975. Can you believe that? It's nearly 40 years old. Incredible. Still sounding as good as ever. So 9:45 tonight, the nation's favourite Carpenters song. I think I would probably go for that one. But if you fancy watching a film, BBC Two at 9 o'clock, War Horse. Yes, the production in London, of course, also on the big screen. The wartime drama, 1914, the struggling farmer Ted Narracott buys a remarkable but unsuitable horse at auction. His son Albert names him Joey, and under pressure from their landlord, somehow trains Joey to work the farmer. Then, of course, war breaks out. Joey is requisitioned by the army to serve at the front and begins that remarkable adventure. It's a fantastic book, it's a fantastic play, and it's a great film as well. That's BBC Two, 9 o'clock tonight. We'll get the latest travel in just a few moments after Dolly Parton. It's BBC Radio Oxford Sunday morning. Will Gompertz here from 9 o'clock. Oxford's Northwall Arts Centre is celebrating its 10th birthday. Will will be chatting to the outgoing artistic director Lucy Maycock about the achievements. Plus, of course, Sunday newspapers and the huge Christmas hits, but not as you know them. Intriguing. That's Will Gompertz from 9. Then from 11, Bill Buckley, of course, the best food and drink Oxfordshire has to offer, plus our gardening experts on hand to answer your calls. That's how things are shaping up here on BBC Radio Oxford for Sunday. Now, back in October on the show, we featured the launch of the Operation Christmas Child. It's an incredibly generous project supported right across Oxfordshire, which aims to make Christmas special for less fortunate children around the world. Now, shoeboxes are filled with gifts before being shipped out. And this year, boxes collected in Banbury are heading to Serbia. And we can tell you that Operation Christmas Child has once again been a huge success. Eunice Harradine is the woman behind the project. Morning to Eunice.
Good morning, Paul.
Now, for those who aren't familiar, remind us what Operation Christmas Child is about.
Well, it's where donors fill a shoebox full of small gifts for a child, either 2 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, boy or girl, and put £3 in or pay online for the shipping, and we send it through to a needy child, as you've just said, a needy child. Most of our shoeboxes go to Eastern Europe and Africa. Some go to the Middle East and parts of Asia. And this year we've done very well.
I was going to say, so tell us, how have you done then? Go on, boast.
Yep. Well, this year from the Banbury area, we have sent 2,750 shoeboxes.
Wow. Give yourself a round of applause. That's great news.
It is. My team and I worked pretty hard for 3 weeks in November because they all have to be checked to make sure that they don't contain anything that's not allowed, such as sharp things for the youngsters, marbles that the little ones might swallow, these sorts of things, liquids that could damage a load of other shoeboxes. So we worked very hard, but we finished on time. And I'm just thrilled that we can bless so many children who probably would not have a present, never mind for Christmas, but any time.
How many more is that than last year? Do you suddenly think, wow, look at all these shoeboxes. We haven't had so many.
We had 117 more this year than last year. And last year was a good year for us as well, because numbers had been lower for a few years, but they're on the rise very, very nicely. I'm thrilled, really pleased.
And this is something that's grown not just in Banbury, but elsewhere as well. I know when I've been into churches in November time and you start seeing shoeboxes in front of the altar, I've started calling it shoebox season, you know, Christmas is on the way. This is something that's really grown, isn't it?
Yes, it has. And it is so heartwarming, so encouraging, because, as I say, these children probably won't have another present any time in the year, and it may be the first present they've had in their whole life, you know, and they could be 6, 10, 14 years old. These presents really do make a big difference, because sometimes children in parts of Eastern Europe can't go to school if they don't provide their own pens and paper.
What's it like on the practical level, getting the shoeboxes out there? You talked about going through the boxes, making sure that no sharp objects, etc. But logistically, it might be quite difficult as well.
Well, when the shoeboxes have been checked, we pack them into cartons. Then from Banbury, they go to an exporting warehouse, which this year we took them to Coventry. And then they are boarded, loaded onto big lorries and driven to Eastern Europe in this case. And we do that all for £3 per shoebox. It's because it's done on scale, en masse, that we can do it for such a cheap price.
Sure. And the circumstances, you mentioned children who wouldn't necessarily receive a present, and we think of children in all sorts of countries. I mean, obviously, I know you mentioned they're going out to Serbia, but does this make your work even more important, the plight of children that we see, well, pretty much daily on our TV screens now?
Most definitely, yes. I mean, I just love it. And, you know, I have so many people who support the work in Banbury. And it really is fantastic to see so many people coming together. Some people can only manage to fit in a few hours, and some people are there most of the day that we're working. This year we were working 9 till 2 on 15 weekdays. And, you know, it's hard work at times. It's tiring, but everybody just joins in. And they can't keep away, some of them. And I just love doing it, love being there and helping, because I know that we're making a difference.
Thing is, Eunice, it's been a record-breaking year this year. You've set yourself a bar for next year now, haven't you?
Most definitely. And I have plans already on how we're going to increase the number next year, because I have people who want me to go in and give a talk at the school or other places to encourage the children at schools and encourage adults in churches and so on, well, adults and children. But, you know, when I have the opportunity to explain just how important these shoeboxes are to children, people do join in. And you don't need me to come and talk to you. Because it's all online as well. If you go to operationchristmaschild.org.uk, there are videos there of children who have received shoeboxes and telling about the difference that it makes to them. It's fantastic.
Eunice, it's a great project. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme. And hey, you might get a bit of rest over Christmas, maybe.
So.
Eunice, thank you very much. That's Eunice Harridan, the woman behind the project Operation Christmas Child in Banbury. Those presents going out to children in Serbia. 13 minutes to 8 o'clock, Sunday breakfast here on BBC Radio Oxford. Our Carol Countdown is next. This is BBC.